Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Well, in my eyes, breathing is still probably one of the most underrated of all the vital activities we carry out every moment of our lives. And talking about conscious breathing and learning how we can improve our well-being, be it physical, mental, emotional, through learning more on the topic, deserved having Wolfgang Steiner, certified integrative breathing coach, back for a third round. I think you win the prize, Wolfgang, the one who's been back the most so far. Welcome, Wolfgang. If you could kindly start with just a brief intro of who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Oh, thank you very much, Julie, for inviting me back. I'm happy to be here. And especially this time of spring, where it's really like everything is sprouting, awakening, breathing through. And it's so important for this. I'm a breathing coach, and I started 2002. I started my own journey, coming from a place where I could not really breathe through. And I actually found recently, really the reason why I'm a breathing coach is I almost died three times in the time when my mom was pregnant with me.
Right.
When I was born, and a couple of months after my birth, I had a lung infection. So I almost died three times, not being able to breathe. While my birth, I had the navel cord around my neck, and I was a blue baby. So right. I couldn't breathe. I was blue when I came out. So it was really like a very intense time. And I carried this for 33 years in my life until somehow I couldn't go further. Until then, I managed pretty well, just being sick almost every year around this springtime and in the autumn. And I usually cured that by having a spring flu for a week. I stayed in bed and then it was away. And when I started breathing in 2002, I realized I'm not sick anymore. And I was actually exploring this space, and I would like to share this today with you.
Yeah.
What actually is the reason how
that
we
you
come
actually
to
became, because you've been there, you've done all sorts of things first. I mean, you were big in corporate, et cetera, weren't you? Until one day trying to solve these breathing issues, you discovered something new and then decided to dedicate your life to learning more about that, and more than anything else, to helping other people. Now, we actually started off record talking already about the spring, right? Wolfgang, do you want to repeat here what you were saying, you know, about why thinking about breathing is particularly important at this time of year?
Yes, well, it comes from my own experience. I used to have every year around the spring and autumn time. By the way, I'm born in May, so this is like the season, you know, it gets warm and you want to be outside, especially as a kid. And then you have the window open, there is the breeze outside, and I stay inside laying in bed and I'm chilly, I'm cold. And I always was suffering in that. And when I look back at these times and seeing it from today's perspective, it's like in this time of season change, we come from the cold season and we go into the warm.
Right.
And in autumn, the opposite. So in this time of change, we are physically stressed. And in these times, we intend to hold the breath. When we hold the breath,
yes.
It's not flowing. So the energy flow is not there. The immune system is not flowing. The lymphatic system is not flowing. So we get stuck. And this is per definition that the expression of fear. And fear is holding. And the feeling of holding is cold. And
right.
The solution is so simple. When we start breathing consciously and not making these breaks, it all disappears.
That is so true what you say. My first reaction was, okay, spring, lots of people have, you know, pollen allergies, hay fever, that sort of stuff. But it's not, I mean, that's maybe something which adds to it as well,
yes,
but it's
yes,
not the core
yes.
of the matter. And I think what you say indeed about putting our bodies in a state of stress because something's changed, right? We have to adapt again. I think that that's particularly true. And I mean, where do you live?
In Serbia.
In Serbia, that's right. So now I'm in Holland, and I mean, I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but I mean,
whether it's climate change or whatsoever, I mean, we seem to be rocketing backwards and forwards, as in yesterday. Yes. And the rest of you can't see me. I've got even like a mild sunburn on my face from having my coffee on a terrace. And today it's dropped about 10 degrees. It's misty. And I'm feeling I can't breathe. That's how we started this conversation with Wolfgang today. I'm feeling like oppressed. So, I mean, indeed. So we're talking about breathing first before we start. So what is the integrative in breathing? Code.
The integrative breathing coach has two aspects. The one aspect is there is lots of breathing schools out there which developed in the last 50 years, let's say, from rebirthing, that was the start coming from India. And,
yes.
And then there was holotropic breathing by Stanislav Grof. This originally started with LSD, finding a solution to find this special state of consciousness without drugs, because this got prohibited. And then he found the way of holotropic breathing. So there is various breathing schools, and the integrative breathing school, which I practice, gives me the opportunity to use rebirthing, holotropic breathing, vibration, Middendorf. So all the schools are part of our teaching. So right. We can actually vary on the specific need in the moment. For instance, rebirthing is very calm without music, usually. Holotropic breathing is intensive music. So if I have a person which needs the care and the gentleness, holotropic breathing is just the wrong thing in this very moment. Not per se for the person, but in this moment maybe. And opposite, if a person needs more intensity to breathe through something, in rebirthing, you don't have the support of music. So there is various support.
How fascinating. I don't think most of us have a clue. I mean, first of all, breathing is, as I said, as my opening, something that we barely give any thought to the fact that our body is doing something miraculous all the time, whether we're awake, whether we're sleeping, we're still breathing, right? The only moment we are aware of our breath usually is when we're out of breath. So whether it's, you know, running up your stairs or because you're ill, or, you know, COVID, of course, affected lots of people, especially the first wave. So it's only when we don't have it that we actually become aware of it. But I mean, I personally had absolutely no idea that it was such a broad discipline involving all these different schools, etc. So anyway, that means that we're particularly lucky with you, because you put it all together. We're going to be talking about self-healing here today. And I mean, I already know that one thing that I particularly like about this is that through determining what that person needs, they get that individual personal recommendation of which of the different techniques from the different schools needs to put into use. And that makes total sense to me. I mean, breathing is something that we all do in a very individual way, I would say. You know, some people breathe very deeply. Some people, I know me, when I'm super busy, and I tend to always start shallow breathing very much, just because I'm running around and it costs me less energy to breathe all the way down. But I often feel it then, you know, then I get exhausted, then I get, you know, all the problems that one can have. So anyway, today we're talking about self-healing. So do you mean self-healing from what? From an illness, from a trauma? What is the self-healing in our topic?
I would like to say first, I think there is only self-healing. Whatever happens to you can bring you in the situation, the position that you heal.
Right.
I think nobody can heal you. Somebody can provide you a space where you can relax so deeply that you trust yourself again, so your self-healing powers get activated. So I think medicine, drugs, whatever, nothing is healing you. It maybe takes away the pressure and puts the confidence back, so you relax, so the self-healing powers. Nobody can make your bone heal when it's broken.
Yeah.
It's healing by itself. We can support it so it's in the right position, and then we can support it with the right environment so we can more relax, because in this environment of more relaxation, the energy flows easier. That's nobody great. Can heal you. I can support you in giving you a space where you actually come into the awareness and into the space for yourself that you believe in yourself. And their magic happens. And this is how breath work is supporting you. because it brings you into the awareness that you breathe for yourself. And when you take away the breaks, because we breathe very often and hold the breath, specifically when we talk a lot.
Yes.
Specifically when we move and we come out of breath, we hold the breath. And then, you know, traumatic situations. So when we get into a space where we actually connect to our breath and we become aware, then we can support our breath by flowing. And then things happen in our body. We relax. Usually we become warm. Even when we are cold, after the breathing, people have warm hands, warm feet. They feel connected. And in this space, the self-healing powers organically activate.
Right. What a beautiful concept. And so basically, I mean, would you say then that we are all born, I mean, apart from particular cases, right? I mean, like your example, right? That so your mother was in distress during her pregnancy. You happen to have your umbilical cord around your throat. Do we say that when we're born in the world, apart from if we have an illness of some sort, we breathe perfectly naturally, it flows as it should, but that basically then we acquire bad habits, traumas, reactions, whatever during our lives, which then, so we're actually stopping something which happens naturally from flowing.
Yes, that's exactly what I would say. And sadly, the bad habits already happen with the birth process, where we don't allow the mother giving birth to her baby naturally, where we imply the feeling we don't manage by ourselves. The mom and the baby both are forced, like inducing medicine or by cesarean, or in all the areas where it's not naturally happen, the emotional context is we haven't made it. We are not good enough for this most natural thing.
Right.
So you're right. Basically, as a baby, we come out unless we die or we don't have the navel cord or something. But usually we would come to the world and have the feeling, we would breathe and have the feeling we can manage.
Right.
And this gives us the flow in life.
It depends, you know, which cultures we're talking about, you know, the interference part. I mean, lots of countries, there is no interference or very little. I mean, even here in Holland, which I would say we're not talking about a natural tribe who was always birthed fully in nature and supported, let's say. But I mean, even in Holland, most of us choose to actually have birth at home. And there's usually just somebody there for if something goes wrong. But otherwise, the process is, you know, done by itself, and the mother and child are certainly not separated. But it was just more the idea that, you know, are we trying to reinstate something which is actually fundamentally natural, but that we've messed up from some way or another? Yeah. And because I like that idea. So we're not actually changing things. We're trying to return to the original state of natural free flowing breath without fear. So it's basically, I heard you well, then what does influence our breathing is all based on fear then.
Let me share you one example, which was really, really very impressive for me. I was in a very, very cold canyon in New Zealand about 15 years ago, and the water was cold. It was about 5 degrees. It was really a cold Greek. And there was a family, and the little child was about 2 to 3 years. It walked, but it was really a little child. And this child went in the water, out of the water, without squeaking, no screaming, nothing. It just went in, played, went out. And you know what happened? The parents came and said, come out of the water is cold. And certainly the child felt that the water is cold.
So it
was not about the water is not cold, but the child was not cold in the cold water.
Yes.
So the parents implied, get out of the cold water, otherwise you get a cold.
Right.
So in this moment, you put a belief in the child's mind.
Totally agree.
What is not the experience of the child?
Totally agree. And actually, I quite like the fact that you use that, because I get quite a few comments that I'm one of those who like throwing myself in freezing cold water. Okay, the colder the water, the shorter I stay in. So during Christmas, New Year period, we have this little lake opposite the house, and I go in and it's cold. It's so cold I can't breathe very well and not for long. But there's no fear of the cold. I go in really happily. People are sort of saying, but you know, don't you find it cold? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, maybe I'm becoming immune to the cold. I just know that I love that buzz when I'm in the water and when I come out, you know, I'm burning. It's the fear of the cold, the problem. If you go there thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be cold, it will be. Whereas if you go in thinking, yes, I can do this. Okay, anyway, let's come back to you and to breathing. So first of all, maybe we should say, why is it important to the listeners out there to breathe properly? What happens if we don't?
Well, if we don't, well, there is another thing. You're never breathing wrong. Your breath always shows your state. So your breath is a monitor, actually, to see how, in which state am I in my body. So the breath is not wrong, but certainly if you breathe differently, you would feel differently in your body.
Right.
So what we can do, we use the breath as a monitor to have a look on our body. And when there is breaks, when there is reduced breathing, then we can realize and actually consciously intensify. This is the great thing about the breath. We can conscious breathe. And we can usually we breathe unconsciously, so we cannot forget. But as soon we take over the breath, we can actually kind of make corrective actions and have a look. How does it feel when I do this? And actually see what is changing in my body. And I naturally usually intend to ask, look at your body. What's your body's impulse? Because our body wants to get into this flow. And when we look at our body says, I need a deeper inhale. I need this. Yes. I need a voice. Because when you said you go in a cold water and sometimes it's cold and you're shortly, because when it's cold, it is cold.
Yeah.
It's not about saying it's not cold. It is cold. And breathing in the cold might not be a calm, silent breathing, because it might be screaming.
Yeah, your body's, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because this is the reaction. And when you scream in the cold, suddenly it's not cold anymore, because you gave this an expression to breathe through, to keep the breath in flow. Cold water breathing is one of my specialities. And breathing with birth, yes, I love that, because it's far away.
Yeah, right. We need to get a bit into what you do, because I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. And I love all that you're saying here, because it's basically, of course, we are breathing well, because otherwise we'd be dead, right? Let's say. So we're not breathing badly, as you said, but it's how we can use the breath in order to actually bring it to its full potential, right? And I mean, I think what I was getting at is that breathing does influence so much. I mean, I'm just using my own little silly examples here, but I know that how I breathe affects how I sleep. How I breathe definitely affects my digestion. Basically, we have very many reasons why we should take our breathing seriously, and why we should look at how we can let a naturally function of the body operate to its full glory in order to make us feel better and happier and healthier. I mean, that's what it's all about here. It's not just about an exercise. It's about feeling good in our skin, breathing properly, being healthy. And all of that works, as you say, when we stop preventing natural functions from flowing naturally. So what do you do? I mean, first of all, what sort of things do your clients come to you for?
Well, various things. I always talk about the ideal client who comes before something is happening towards sickness. Right. Because we can use the breathing for real prevention.
Right.
When we breathe and we consciously breathe, we can say we won't get sick. Right. This is a very bold expression, but when we don't go into this stuckedness, the body actually flows and really prevents.
We need to recognize the signs then, the pre-warning signs that something might be leading to a sickness. So more as a preventive,
and it always can be better.
Yes.
When we are in a place where we are good, let's just think about what can be better. We don't need to be good and disclaim to become less. We can be on a good place, safe place, and can go to a better place. So we actually create a space where other people are magnetized and actually coming towards. When we are just good, everybody says, okay, you're good, I'm good, it's okay. But yeah. if you're on a place where you're really good, people look at you and say, what are you doing?
Yes, what are you doing? Yeah.
If you're okay, nobody looks at you.
Yeah.
If you're really good, people say, yes, that is something interesting. What are you doing? So I really, really, really like the most to work with people who intend to be better than now.
Right.
This is also true for people who are sick. They are on a bad place and want to improve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect is if you're in a good place and want to improve.
Well, we're talking about the incredible benefits of tapping into our breathing power when we know how. And so not alone the mental, the physical, the well-being, but also the absence of fear, which then means that we also think better. We're more, I mean, fear is self-protection, right? So fear, it's all about survival. It's all about me. Whereas, I mean, we're looking at the world at the moment. We've just come out of our, I don't know how many is pandemic of various sorts of COVID, plus we have war in Europe with the situation in Ukraine. There's an awful lot of fear and there's a lot of defense going on because of that fear. And imagine what it would be like then if more and more people were aware of their breath and did learn how to optimize it so that yes. they were in a place of well-being. People who feel good don't go around creating wars. People are, you know, you talk, you discuss, there's no fear, there's no need to attack because you think you're being attacked. And so it could certainly make the world a better place. Now, so, I mean, okay, we can't go on forever. How do you coach someone?
Well, that's a very interesting thing. I very often get confronted with the topic. What is the difference of being one-on-one and being in a group? Because since the time online, I'm offering groups and I'm offering one-on-one coaching, one-on-one breathing. So the question is, what is the right thing? Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Because usually, you know, the group breathing is different than the one-on-one. So I intend to have a look and talk to the person. What is actually what you need and what is your pattern? For example, there is people who are always in groups and never go in one-on-one. Right. And then there is people who go always in one-on-one and never go in groups. So I think there is a kind of what is the right thing for me right now and what is maybe the difference. For instance, in a group, I can perfectly hide, but I also yes. get amazing benefit of diversity.
Yeah, and so the group, imagine it's a bit like singing together, is it? When you,
yes.
you Wolfgang has what he calls the breathing circles, right? Also,
yes.
that so it's a group of people. And then, I mean, I can imagine that having that very powerful effect that singing
yes.
together has.
Yes, when you come together, you get ideas what else you could do. So
right.
it's very beneficial to be in groups. Versus if you're always in a group, it can be that you don't want to face your specific topic.
Indeed.
And in a one-on-one, you can go deep into this topic. So I really like both. There is none of these is better or worse. It's about what is the right thing right now. And if I want to go specifically in one topic, it's so powerful to go really deep and be focused on each other. There is I'm involved with one client specifically, and this goes very, very detailed, specific on topics, and it's very efficient, you know?
Yeah.
But I also
think
there
is some maintenance. So what sort of things do you ask them?
Well, there is, of course, some socializing. You know, you have a conversation, you talk to each other, and it's very interesting that in a normal conversation, things come up which are just important for the person.
Right.
Of course, I show myself as well, but I'm not the person. I'm not talking about myself.
Yes.
Of course, if somebody needs to know something about me, I offer this as well. But when the person is going into details, very often the points which are important just come up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but this is just the conversation because we have to focus on the breath. We know that we go into breathing, so the focus is not about anything. So whatever is there leads into the breathing and is then most certainly the topic of the breathing. And this can vary. And we don't have an idea. The breath knows where the next step is.
And that
we might
you use that in order to choose which of the many therapy styles that you have. And then you basically, you choose one and it's like is it a one-off? Is it something that you do over a long period of time? How does it work?
Well, it's a process. So I recommend to go into various breathing sessions. But of course, it's also the person. The person says, okay, I want to try it. And that's okay. Then I go in a gentle, smooth breathing, not to go so deep. And if we go into a breathing process over a certain period of time, which we simply agree, then we go deeper and we have more specific, we can have a long-term goal. So there is all kinds of people come and say, what is it? I would like to know it.
Yeah.
Then it's different than if somebody comes and says, I want to make this and I have a goal.
Right. Because, but I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we're talking about making breathing conscious. So the first problem is that most of us are not conscious of how we're breathing or even of the fact that we could breathe differently, which would give us different effects in our lives. It's also very hard, you know, when we're talking about patterns, you know, and as you said, you know, these patterns are basically ingrained from birth, as to how to reverse it. You need to train it, right? You need to train to be regularly aware of it or conscious of it so that you can change what needs to change in order to let the flow happen without the breaks. But it takes a period of time. You have to really consciously trigger yourself, right? To remember to bring your attention to the breathe and to check in. I would very much advocate, you know, trying it out. If you had three tips to share with our audience, Wolfgang, today about using breathing for self-healing, what would you say?
Well, first of all, to really connect to the intuition.
Okay.
When we connect to our breath, we connect to what is my body telling me?
Yeah.
And this is what we say, the intuition. Intuitively, we want to yawn, for instance, and then we know it's not the right place. If your body asks for it, have a look how it is if you actually allow it. Allow your intuition to be there.
Right.
Another example, I don't know, probably everybody knows that, you know, you have the feeling you want to go to the toilet, but it's not the right moment. So you hold it back.
Yes.
So your body learns not to follow the intuition of your body telling you what he needs. And eventually people have, they can't go to the toilet.
Yeah. Because so maybe the toilet, maybe they don't need to give in immediately if they can't go. But for breathing, yes, it was the idea to listen and to let it have what it needs there and then, if possible. Okay.
There is my second tip. Try the opposite. We used to have a pattern, what we do. We do it like this. And maybe it's an idea to do the opposite.
Okay. You mean like I connect to my breath and I realize that I'm breathing, you know, I'm not breathing right down to my stomach. So then I do the opposite and see how that feels. Right.
And if you can't do it, then there is a sign you need something.
Right.
Yes. Usually we stop. I can't do it. Okay. We forget about it.
Yeah.
If it's the opposite and you are attracted to it and you don't manage, have a look. How can I achieve that? And thinking around it.
Right.
Am I able to do it by myself or do I need support to achieve the opposite? What doesn't mean that I should live in the opposite, but I should be able to achieve the opposite.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm stuck in one place.
Yes. So it's having the flexibility then, isn't it, really?
To have the choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And your third?
Everything should be joy.
Everything should be joy. Right. So how do we link that to breathing?
Well, when you don't have the joy, you're not breathing.
Right.
That's when there is joy, the breath flows. Yeah. So when the joy is not there.
Oh, very clever.
Have a look and think about it.
Wolfgang, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I mean, I'm going to put everything in the show notes, but for those who are listening in the train or whatsoever, how can anyone get hold of you if they want to find out more?
Well, I'm on Facebook, the email address, I have a homepage. No, Art Breath Journey in German, Atem.
Right, well, thank you very much again. I'm sure that this third will not be the last. I think it's an absolutely fascinating topic, which I realize even, you know, this is the third time that we talk and I've learned a whole bunch of stuff that I hadn't actually realized before. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your time and your expertise with us. I hope many people become curious about this miraculous thing that we do, but which we could do so much better if we only let it and learned how to do it that way. The rest of you out there, try it. I think what Wolfgang was saying is try it. I mean, first of all, if you refer back, we have two previous episodes, which I would very much recommend people to listen to again. They're all on my menu about how we can create those moments when we stop and we consciously do breathe, you know, choosing something where you stop and use that. But for today, what we were talking about was basically using the breath as a monitor of how we are inside, whether it's physically, emotionally, etc. It's the preventive and improving side of things. So when you know that something's wrong, get in there, react before, you know, you have a full-fledged disaster you need to deal with. And the three tips. So first of all, to connect to the breath and the intuition and use it as a guide to what our body needs. Secondly, to try the opposite. Realize what you're doing and try the opposite, just so that you widen your menu and your possibilities, and you always have a choice of how to adapt your breath in order to get a different result. And the third one I thought was particularly inspiring is that everything should be joy. And from the point of view that we are in a place of joy, we are breathing properly. It's the fear and the worries and the stresses which prevent our body from flowing naturally. And when it flows naturally, as Wolfgang said, we're warm, we're happy, we're relaxed. And if we have a lot more people like that in the world should be a much better place. Thank you very much for listening, and speak to you again this time next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.